Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
Hey, folks. So, well, a market or a government shutdown, it can be scary. So what I want to do in today's video is kind of get through the noise and all the mainstream media stuff, because you need to understand what's going to happen with the government shutdown, what's happened in the past, and we're going to get around all the noise and all the fear-mongering, and I'm going to show you kind of most likely what the outcome should exactly be. So as you come on, please let me know what you think. Do you think there's going to be a shutdown at midnight tonight? If you do, let me know down below. And as we go through these, please, any comments that you have are more than welcome. So here's what the headlines are reading right now. Government shutdown, or government on track for a shutdown with no funding deals in sight. If you watch this morning's video, I went over some mortgage programs that might be in jeopardy of actually closing on their loans. If you're looking at a VA loan, there might be some mortgage programs there that are going to be hard to get. If you're looking at FHA loans, most of them are going to be around, but there'll be some delays on certain things. And if you need anything from the IRS, it's usually pretty difficult to get in the first place. It's even going to be harder now. So if you're self-employed and you need something from them, God bless you trying to get those. So what I wanted to try to do today is kind of explain to you what most likely is going to happen into stocks, bonds, cryptocurrencies, and even if you're a homeowner watching this video, what should you do? Should you put off that home buying? Should you refinance now? What should you do? So these are the questions I hope to tackle in today's video. So let's get over to it. So here's what we're seeing in the markets right now. Government pretty much is on track for a shutdown. If you go down through here, they're not looking all that great, but they're not really looking all that bad. If you go through here, the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and the S&P, they're virtually unchanged. 0.0, the biggest one is the S&P. It's change is 9, but 0.14. So really nothing going on here. You see the VIX over here, flat as a pancake. That's the anxiety levels on Wall Street. If you have a market ready to shut down or the government ready to shut down, you think the anxiety levels would be skyrocketing. Let's go to oil, because we usually focus in on oil to see, you know, what this is doing to inflation, and it's in check. So let's kind of dive into what's happening behind the scenes. Mortgage rates are coming down. But here's what I want to tackle in today's news. How do you invest in this kind of market? And don't you wish the caption we're going to go over today is how to dollar cost average. I'm going to show you how, you know, you just set aside a certain amount, you know, in your budget and just invest it each month. We're going to go through this caption. It is on a blog section that we have on our website. I'm going to go through this, but I'm also going to go over and show you guys what happened in the past when we had certain other events that took place, like the 2000 bubble when it comes to the internet and the real estate crash that we had as well. So let's get over and tackle this first. If you're looking to invest, the most prudent way I would do this to avoid all the market volatilities is this. We call it dollar cost averaging. Let's go over what's going to happen in most cases and why this it's going to play a key role in all this. So with a government shutdown, here's what most likely is going to happen. Shutdown historically ends. It's going to end at some point, and the markets will normalize. Focus on long-term plans, not short-term plans. Same thing if you're looking to buy a house. Don't you wish you can put like $100 down on a house, you know, and avoid buying it outright? And you know, so what this does is it actually allows you to buy into like stocks at a certain amount, at a certain time every month. So it doesn't matter if the stock is way up, way down, it's going to blend out or smooth the pattern of your buying. So if you go through here, here's what the stock markets look like over the last 15 years. It's been up, up and away. And yeah, there are times of down times. And these are the times where it really pays off. So how this works is I'm going to set you on a budget. The biggest thing you need to have is if you're watching this video and you're looking to, you know, first start beginning investing, or you're kind of at the mid-level, maybe you're looking to buy a house. What do you put your money in that's safe and secure? There's never a 100% guarantee, you know, unless you put it in basically a CD or something like that, but you're not going to get really great returns like you're going to get in the market. So how do we invest in the market the most prudent way possible? let's dive into it. What you're going to have to do is first stay the course with a monthly budget. Figure out your monthly budget. Pick a number you want to invest in each month. No matter what the headlines say, automate it and make sure you invest it each month. What you're going to do is decide how much and what time of the month you can pay. So like an example, in my case, my paycheck on the 30th pays our mortgage and all our bills, and my paycheck on the 15th usually pays other things, and we invest. So on the 15th of each month, I invest an X amount of money into our portfolio. I use broad-based index, low funds. Like the most prudent way that I would suggest you invest is invest in the S&P 500. And there I'm going to show you funds here that we've picked over the last year. And I'm going to show you how to invest that. And we're going to show you how the dollar cost average, we're going to add to that position every month. We're going to see over time how much it basically increases. And is it going to outrun the S&P, you know, the other indices in its class? Watch on that. And then revisit your plan annually. Not every day, not every week. Just go back to it, I would say quarterly, not annually, but quarterly. Look into it and see what your positions look like. But just continue to do that. Here's what dollar cost averaging does. If you did this over time, you did it, say, 20 years ago, here's how much money you would have invested right through here, the blue line, and here's how much money you would have. So over the life of over through here, you'd have about $350,000 if you dollar cost averaged, and you only put in, what, 110, 120,000. So you basically tripled your money during this time frame, and you really, you know, really didn't lose because you dollar cost average. When the market was way up, you bought little. When it was way down, you bought a little bit more. So that's how dollar cost averaging works. Why dollar cost averaging helps? Well, it reduces the timing. Because what happens usually during times like this, people freak out and they're like, okay, the government's going to shut down. So I'm going to pull all of my money out of equities and buy in bonds and everything. So there's going to be a huge amount of fluctuations in the markets. My apologies. I just drank some water and it caught in my throat. But what you can do is dollar cost average. Here's an example that we have. And if you go to my website, go to therateupdate.com, in the blog section, we're going to go right over through here. I'm going to start putting a lot of these resources for you guys to get involved with. Go to therateupdate.com. You're going to go over to resources and blogs. What I'm going to do is every live event that I have, I'm going to try to put something on here that you can kind of backload and kind of understand it with videos and the websites we're going to use through this. So let's get over to here. Here's what I really want to talk to you guys about. The market, the government is shutting down. We know they're going to shut down. How long is it going to be? Well, it depends. This one might be a little bit different than the ones in the past. The ones in the past that I experienced, one was, I think, maybe a couple weeks long, if that, and then one almost, I think it was right about 30 days. It creates a lot of havoc, okay, in the mortgage industry and even in the markets. But what I want you guys to understand is, and the reason why I briefly talked about dollar cost averaging, and I did it briefly, is because I wasn't prepared for the government to shut down. So I kind of want to turn the tables just a little bit and go over some different pieces of the puzzle for you guys to understand, especially in what is a crash, okay? So a lot of people are going to come in now, and they've been saying the housing market's going to crash for years, and I've been on the other side of that. But I want to really show you what a crash looks like. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but these are the things you want to avoid, you know, if you're looking to buy these stocks. And I'm going to go through these, and it's a system I want you to understand and look at. And we're going to look at the similarities that we have in the markets of the past and the similarities that we have today. So let's first start out with this. Here's where the biggest crashes in our market that ever occurred. The NASDAQ, it dropped 78% from 2000 to 2002. Folks, that's a crash. I lived it. I was sitting at lunch one day, and I was watching the ticker tape, and I got an alert from my investments that I just had a margin call. And if you don't know what that is, it's when you buy stocks on margin. And yes, I was all in with both feet, plus I was buying stocks on credit. And I got a margin call. And all of a sudden, you know, my portfolio clicked, and I was down over six figures at that luncheon. That afternoon, I had a panic attack, and I, as you can understand, I probably didn't have the rest of the good day there, but that's a crash, folks. You can see right through here, 78%. So when people come in, they're like, oh, the market's going to crash. I'm like, you guys, you never experienced a crash. That's a crash. Okay, the S&P 500 at that point went down 50%. So if you hadn't money invested, you were either in the S&P or the NASDAQ, so you probably lost about 60 to 70% of your money. Okay, and now the housing thing. Okay, housing dropped 27%. In the bubble areas, It dropped 40 to 60%. And this is why I've been saying, okay, folks, we might have a correction, but I don't see a bubble crashing. I don't see any real estate in our country right now going to drop 60%. So if you want to prove me otherwise, please, the comments, your comments are well taken down below. Okay, so the next thing is, what happened to the dot-com crash? What caused it? So if you go over here, let's look at some of the similarities that you have here. So the backdrop on this is tech IPOs with little or no earnings. Seeing that quite a bit right now with chips, AI especially. Everybody is an AI company now, or a crypto company bringing in millions, if not billions of dollars in investments right now, and they have no earnings. Internet, okay, guaranteed profits mindset. So let's change the internet to now a little bit more advanced to AI. So AI equals guaranteed profits mindset. Okay, and that's why I'm really reluctant right now to jump in on stocks like Palantir, Nvidia, those companies that, what was the other one? Oracle. Those are the companies that, you know, maybe you get into it with a position of dollar cost averaging. Kind of the same thing with Bitcoin. It's hard to get into a new position in Bitcoin when it's $120,000 a Bitcoin. So the 15th of each month, what I do is I put $250 into Bitcoin each month on the 15th. That's what I do. I'm not advising you guys what to do. I only do this for entertainment and educational purposes only. So don't trade or do anything of what I do. Just use this to help you guys understand the markets, okay? Let's go down through here. The tech bubble, NASDAQ dropped 78%. Dow Jones was down 38%. So you can see you lost, if you were invested at all, you lost at least 50% of your money. It's scary times. Okay, so now let's go down to the housing bubble. Okay, this is that piece of the puzzle where everybody's like, okay, it's going to be the housing bubble again, going to be the housing. They've been talking about for the last five years. Well, what happened? What caused the housing bubble? We know it caused the dot-com bubble. We just went through all those three big reasons there. If you go down through here, what caused the housing crash? Well, the biggest thing is subprime mortgages and no-doc loans. I've been talking about that for the last 5 years to help educate people on what truly happened during that time. Speculation in real estate, people just kept buying and buying. You can't lose money in real estate. Well, people were proven wrong on that one. And then prices far exceeded the income levels. And we're seeing that right now in this market right now. But we don't have these loans. These loans no longer exist. And the speculation in the market's pretty much been out of circulation over the last 3 years since the rates kind of trickled up since when they were in the 3 and 4% range and they popped to 8. And that kind of halted that market. So we had bubbles at that time. Markets is all 50, 60% to depreciation in California, Nevada, Florida, Arizona. But the Midwest, you know, we dropped 10, 15%, and then it didn't take us that long to recover. But that's what happened. So here's what I'm trying to help you guys understand. Why these are true crashes. They were way, way, way double digit. They played over a series of years. Not months. You know how all these people come in. Well, you know, in 30 days, we're going to have the biggest crash ever. Well, folks, it takes years to for that to happen. And there has to be a purpose behind it. And then it takes might take up to decades to recover from all this. So, you know, what do you need to do? Diversify. Real estate's a long-term buy. And assume that this time isn't any different. Okay, so let's recap all this that we just went over and go back to where we started. Okay, so why would you take this stock market and if you had, you know, $5,000, $10,000, let's say you're saving up money to buy a house. Okay, and you have $10,000, $20,000 set aside and you're like, okay, it's sitting in this account, you know, I'm getting 3 or 4%. Should I invest it? Those are the people I really would like to, you know, help through navigate through this process. So how do you do this? Well, don't lump everything in one bucket. So what you're going to do, make sure you have, let's say, 6 months of your essential bills. Put that in a checking or savings account or a CD or money market. Okay. And then the other money that you have, maybe what you might want to do is open an account with like Schwab or some investment firm that's really free to keep host your money there. Just put it over there and put it in one of their platforms that's maybe like a government bond thing or an S&P 500 or just, but don't do a lump sum. move your money over there, put it into a money market account, and then every, you know, every 2 weeks maybe, if you have a lump sum there, is add into your positions. So as the market maybe comes down, you're getting more stocks. As the market starts moving up, you'll get less, but you're still having a position in those areas. I wish you were, we would be able to do that with real estate. But unfortunately, when you buy a house, you buy it, and then it's like, okay, now what do I do? So let's move over now to anybody out there that's might own a home. And you might think of, what do I do now? So the biggest thing I want to help people understand now is the refinance process. And if you're here for just stocks, bonds, cryptocurrencies, there's a reason why I'm getting into the real estate, because hopefully that's a goal of yours one day. I'm still a proponent of real estate is one of the best wealth creators that we've ever had. And that's why I own real estate as well. So what is real estate going to do during this time frame? And, you know, what are the expectations where mortgage rates are going? So let's kind of move down that avenue a little bit. The first thing I want to really go over with you guys is the housing market's going to be, or is, almost completely dependent on rates. So when you see rates coming down, as we saw over the last 30, 45 days, you're going to see a lot more activity in the housing market. And that is a fact, and you know, I can prove it here on our analytics. But the problem now is that the Fed was on the fence. They cut rates once, and then it's like, okay, are they going to cut again? How many cuts are they going to be? Because mortgage rates are the pendulum right now of what's going to happen with real estate. So if you go over to right through here, here's what we really want to focus in on. Federal Reserve, more members of the Federal Reserve are now coming out saying they're in favor of rate cuts. Okay, we have a frozen jobs market. We just had this posted today. So if you don't believe me, there's the date right down through there. So we have a frozen jobs market. We have an economy that's not all that bad, and tariffs are coming down the pike, and they're not as scary as we were told, you know, back in March and April. So a lot of those pieces of the puzzle are coming down and actually working out pretty well. So now we have the government shutdown. So here's the expectations on that. And folks, I've been doing this for over 30 years. I've saw two of these in the past, and hopefully I can bring up a chart that I can show you guys some of this, but no, I guess I can't. Let me go back to here. Let's go to the economic calendar. The Federal Reserve, when they announced last week or the week before that they were going to cut rates, the biggest catalyst for that was jobs. They said, we know inflation's going to tick up a little bit, and it'll be a one-time off, or it'll blend through the system as more and more tariffs get activated. But our biggest concern right now is the jobs market. Well, this week we were going to have a slew of information in regards to the jobs market. We got the JOLTS index today, which was probably the last financial reading we'll get from the government, and it actually showed pretty good job market right here with job openings and labor transfers up to 7.2. That's a pretty good number. Confidence, like I expected, it crumbled. Last reading was almost 98. It went down to 94. And then the other pieces of the puzzle, the Case-Shiller index, this is home prices. Home prices are still going up. So year over year, we have home prices up 1.8%. So I've said, you know, mortgage or home prices are going to be flat as a pancake. You know, based on that, if you have the whole country only up less than 2%, I'll say that's flat as a pancake. Month over month, though, getting a little bit of a retraction right now of down 0.3%. So as this blends through, the housing market's going to be flat once again until rates get down to about 6%. When you see 6% on mortgage rates, you're going to see a whole new facet of people coming back into the housing market because there is pent-up demand. If you don't believe me, look what happened at the last reading on home prices or home sales when rates just started to come down. So my expectations is next year, probably about this time, we might be in the high five range. But I'm thinking in the next spring that the housing market's going to be pretty good based on a lot of this information. So you might want to say, Dan, the government's shutting down. I know it's going to shut down, folks. My expectations are it might last a little bit longer maybe than usual. But what I think is they're going to come together pretty darn quick, because I don't think there's much of a division there as the mainstream media is really showing us. But one party just has to say to the other party, no, it's your fault, and it's your fault, and your fault. And then they'll come together in a couple weeks. Everything will get resolved. People get paid. The biggest dilemma I have right now is how many people might get let go, or I don't know if they're going to fire them, but President Trump said if there is a shutdown, he's going to start purging more and more departments. So that could add to the unemployment rates. But again, over time, you're going to see this lapse. And there was a chart that I had here. Let me go down through here and see if it's at the top up here. Nope, it is not there. But let's see if it's on this one. But no, the biggest point I want to advise is the government will shut down. Mainstream media is going to have a tangent with all these things, pointing the fingers and everything else to each other. And so pay attention to this. Stay the course. That's all I want to say. Stay the course. If you're investing, you know, let's get over to our investments so we can show you how, you know, have they been faring and, you know, what investments that we would be looking at this time. Let's see if we got any questions out here. We got John who joined us. I was told I need to wait 90 days after a closing and refinance due to California lien laws. I have a conventional loan, 20% down. Can you confirm or debunk for such thing? I do not know of a, you know what, let's do this. It is a conventional loan. Let's do this. And while you're on the screen, I'll just pop it up here. I'm going to go to ChatGPT. And let's see. I apologize. Let's go back to what your question was. California lien law. Let's see. What is the California lien law? I don't know of this law, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There are states that have kind of some weird laws. Texas is one. New York's one. Right to lien. Licensing, preliminary notice, filing lien, lease, preliminary. Do I need to wait 60 days before? Loan in California. See, I don't know the answers to all these either, so this is where it's short. No, California law does not require you to wait. So this is the crap that people tell you. So there's the answer, John, if you wanted to find that. I don't think there, unless this is not finding it out, no, there's no 60-day law, and there's no 60-day law. I don't think there's going to be any 90-day law. So, yeah, if you want to reach out to us, I'd love to be able to help you. Let me throw up our information up here. So if you guys want to reach out to me and love to help in any way I can. You can just ask Dan. If you go to our website, therateupdate.com, right at the top, you can actually find our information as well. So go to therateupdate.com right through here. You can ask Dan a question right up through there. So let's get back to anybody have any other questions. So John, love to be able to help you there. Let's get over to our stock portfolio, because you came here because you wanted to understand how the stock market works or how to invest. So the goal today was to help you understand. Always invest. Okay, you have to be in the market. But what you have to underdo is the first thing, even if you're looking to buy a house, the first thing we need to do is you have to have a budget. And what we're working on right now is we're working on a series of, you know, helping people understand how to buy. It's going to be a kind of a 4 or 5 part series to walk you through, you know, how to understand, you know, your budgets and things like that. How much can you really afford? Not one of those calculators that you go into and it's like, oh, I can afford that much. How much can you really afford? You know, I don't go to Starbucks every day. You might. I go out to eat quite a bit. You might not. So my lifestyle is different than yours. How much can you budget for? Don't let your loan officer tell you that. Okay, so that's the number one piece. The next piece of that puzzle is understanding your credit. Okay, you have to understand your credit and where to get the credit resources. You know, do you use Credit Karma, Credit Sesame, those free systems, or do you use another system? Well, you know, we're going to talk to you guys about that. And then, you know, what kind of loan programs? What's the best program that you qualify for? And those are what we're going to go over in this process, because if you're out there right now and you own a house, it's daunting times, because if you're looking to buy a house, you know, you have these rate contingencies to worry about. The biggest fear I have right now are for those out there looking to build. You know, where are rates going to be next year? I'm predicting they're going to be lower than where they are today. But a lot of people start building back in 2021, 2022, and by the time they were able to finish up in their homes and get in, rates were 7 or 8%. So talking about that, if you're out there and you're one of those that are at 7-8%, and you're still sitting on the sidelines, you know, here, let's go over some things that might be able to just help you out. I'm going to go to our website, folks. I'm just winging it at this point, so bear with me. Let's go to this right through here. I wanted to talk to you guys about stocks and bonds today and dollar cost averaging, but the biggest thing right now is the most important thing or most common question I'm getting right now is, Dan, can I close on my loan next week? Or Dan, where's rates going to go? Or Dan, you know, how do we buy a house? Our mortgage program is going to be shut down. Well, most of the programs are going to be available. The toughest one or the one that's I'm hearing is going to be kind of shut off is USDA. But fortunately or unfortunately, if you're getting a USDA loan, you might have an alternative, okay? Because USDA, the benefit there is no money down, but you have to have pretty good credit. You have to have a low debt ratio. So if you fit for a USDA, you probably fit for a conventional or an FHA loan. Those do require a down payment. Those do require that you pay PMI. So it will be a higher payment for you, but you have an alternative. FHA, renovation loans, I'm hearing is going to be, there'll be a halt there, and reverse mortgages might have some title issues there, but there might be delays, but they'll eventually come back as well. Conventional loans and VA loans, we're hearing there's really no, there might be some delays in underwriting for different reasons or not, but there shouldn't be really any differences there. Now, when it comes to mortgage rates, that's the pendulum we're going to try to focus in on every day as the data that we kind of get fills in the gaps. So what we're going to focus in on over the next week or two, or until the government comes back into play, is where's inflation going? And we might be able to use it with some other analytics that we get. And where's the jobs markets going? So we'll try to look at some data, but I'm not comfortable looking at the ADP data because their information is usually way off. Every once in a while they'll hit it, but most of the times they're way off. And in this environment, we can't have that. Okay. So let's go back to this. If you're a homeowner right now and you're at a rate of, who knows, let's say 7.5 and you're like, or 7.25, and you're like, Dan, I'm just waiting for those to go down just a little bit more. Well, right, folks, I don't know if they're going to go down a little bit more. And the concern we have is with all this going on, can they possibly go up? Because I did a video last night saying, you know, here's all the things that could cause a mortgage rates to go to 7%. And we actually are at three of the four catalysts that'll put us there. So go, do me a favor, do this. Go into the rate update, and go to our calculators. I apologize. Let's go back to square one. Let's go to therateupdate.com. I just want to show you guys where we are. And there's a lot of tools here for you guys. We just included this Rate Watch tool. It's completely different than what we had. It's pending. It's going through like an audit check right now. As soon as that clears, this will be posted. It's going to be a pretty cool site for you to be able to put in your information. So here's what we're going to do. In this tab, what we're going to do is you're going to be able to provide me the information in regards to your mortgage. Okay, so let's say you're at 7%. You're like, Dan, you know, I really don't know what rate saves me a lot of money or would really make sense. Well, I got a few things. Give us a call. Schedule a consultation with me. You can do all that down below. Or just run some numbers on your own. So what you could do is go to the rate update. You're going to go right through here. And you're going to go to all the calculators. And which one I want you to use is used in videos, because this is the one I use all the time in our Rate Watch videos that we're going to have tomorrow. Alan and I will be live tomorrow to show you how we compare your loan to over 30 different lenders. So this one says, should I refinance? So just plug in your numbers. So here's probably somebody we just had, $547,000. They're 7.125. Let's go and fill in the gaps here, $547,000. If this is their original loan amount, then this one's probably a little bit lower. Let's just go take it down, I don't know, $5,000, 542. Okay, it's going to cost them, let's say it's $5,000 to refinance. We're going to pay this included in the loan. We're going to get them a 6.375 rate, and here's the new loan. So what would this do for these clients? Well, they're going to save almost $300 a month right through here. The cool thing is, break-even point, well, in this one, it's 18 months. So would I do this? Probably not. I would wait for rates to come down a little bit more or see what your costs are. Let's say, for example, this is a loan that you don't need an appraisal and all you need is title fees. Your title fees might be $1,200 plus a credit report, say. So let's go $2,000 all in. Would it be worth it then? Well, let's look at it now. You save $300 a month. Your break-even point is 6 months. Would I do it? Absolutely, I'd do it. Because after 6 months, if rates continue to go down, let's say a year from now, you can get 5.5. Well, let's go 5.5. How much savings would you have there? But the reason why you don't want to wait is, let's say that rates don't go to 5.5%. You're wasting $300 a month by putting it, you know, sending it into the bank that you're currently with and giving them more interest. So you're going to pad their profit margins while they're taking it out of your pocket. Think of it like Monopoly. The game of Monopoly is, think about it. You're trying to get all, at the end of the game, all the money on your side of the equation. So if you're shelling out $300 in interest to a bank that doesn't really need it, you can put it back in your pocket. why not look to refinance? So that is that part of the equation. So let's go over and I'll give you my expectations or what's going to happen in the market, stocks, bonds, cryptocurrencies, and real estate. So my thoughts on real estate, will go kind of backwards, is it's going to be flat as a pancake. We need the pendulum of 6.25% to 6% interest rates for mortgage activity to really start up. Most people are sitting at probably low sevens right now, high sixes on rates. So they're really not a lot of people refinancing. They've probably hopefully locked in and already did that. If you haven't, please reach out to us as soon as you can. The bond market. The bond market short term might, give us a little bit of a reprieve. I'm not thinking so, but let's get over to the bond market. Nope. It's flat as a pancake today. We started basically here. We're basically minus 0.01 for the day. My expectations are that's going to kind of stay the course with that as well. We're going to need more data. Like the Federal Reserve needs more data to figure out if they're going to cut rates or not. Well, the markets are looking for the same thing because they want to see what's the Federal Reserve's most likely. Are they going to cut? Where interest rates going to go down? Because interest rate for corporations kind of like to play the same role as they do for you and I. Those loans that these corporations have to take out, corporate loans, they have to do sell bonds, things like that, is more expensive. So as rates come down, they're saving money as well. So they're waiting for the Fed to make a decision. But until we have the data for the Fed to do just that, we might be stuck in these ranges for now until there's a next catalyst to push us to that next pendulum. So this could get ugly. If the longer this thing draws out, the uglier it's going to get. So I'll be back each day to explain to you guys what's going on with all this and the whys behind it. Look at this one. Spirit Airlines touts massive progress in bankruptcy. So let's recap this with this. Let's get over to our stock portfolio. Here's what I want you guys to understand. Each week we come in here and I post in and we talk about investments and what they are and how to look at investments and so forth. What I want you guys to do today is just work on that budget. Work on the budget that we talked about at the beginning. And just because the biggest piece of this plan is you have to figure out, how much of a budget you can afford to get you where you're going to get to the next level. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're looking to invest or you're looking to buy a home. You have to know what your budget is to figure out each one of those. So this one, we have calculators and things like this to this, but let's go back to here. Here's where mortgage rates are. There's no reason for them to really kind of go outside the range of where they are now. But so my forecast is midterm and even going out until we have a resolution to this government thing shutdown, we're going to see 6.25 to 6.5 basically until there's another catalyst to basically move us to the next level. When you start talking about stocks, I don't think there's really anything here. If you look at the earnings reports, there's not a lot of big earnings coming down the pike. So I think the markets are also going to kind of stand on standby to see how all this progresses through the system. But it was kind of nice to see this come through today, Trump and the Pfizer agreements. We just got my mom's medication bill and wow, talk about it. The gouging in prices, it should be illegal that you have to pay a couple $1,000 a month just for a pill that, they're selling millions of them. That's just my take on it, folks. So take it for what it's worth. So let me know if you guys have any other questions that you might have. But I'm sorry I spun this event around just a little bit. With the government shutdown, we're getting a lot of people concerned on if they can close on their loans. Is this going to affect them? What's it going to do to interest rates? And then also, where's the market's going to take us? And right now we're just treading on areas that most people have never been at before. I've been there. Usually the last two resolutions we had were pretty fast. There is going to be a lot of finger pointing and everything else taking place. So trying to get rid of all that smoke and do your own research. When they're talking about why there's a division in this, like Medicare, Medicaid, things like that, don't listen to what I say. Do your own research. And I'd love for you guys to comment down below with any comments. But what I'd like you to do is put an educated, some educated information down there instead of, this stinks or that stinks or, it's never going to happen. Put in what you really think is going to happen and the whys behind it. And let's try to help each other out during this whole process. So, folks, that is it for today. I got to get back to it because we got a lot of people looking to refinance right now and take advantage of these rates before they, something goes on behind the scenes that might shoot rates right back up to 7%. If you're concerned about that, you got to watch yesterday's video because there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle right now that are on the brink of us getting the 7%. Believe it or not, I don't think we're going to get there, but it is a possibility. So look at refinancing now if you're a homeowner. If you're looking to buy, reach out to us. I'd love to schedule a consultation with you to walk you through the numbers, walk you through what our time frames or your time frame would be, what the numbers would look like. So thanks for watching, folks. God bless. Have a fantastic afternoon out there. Can't wait to see you at the closing bell, and I'll give you a...
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. Bill.com/procurement200.